Stand by for the Terry Saul Show. 5, roll tape. 4, cue Terry. 3, bring audio up. 2, stand by. 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. The next time you plan an event, think of the Queen. And by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance.
Well, good morning, and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. And today, our special guest is the destination coordinator for the South Coast, Dave Lacey. Now, Dave, did I get that title right?
South Coast Destination Coordinator for the Oregon Coast Visitors Association.
That's a mouthful. You have that on a business card or on a 2x4?
Yeah, you know, we shorten it up and we just say OCVA.
OCVA, O-C-V-A. All right.
Yep.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great. I'm sitting here in beautiful Port Orford. I'm watching a couple of seagulls bicker outside the window here. It's pretty funny.
Nice. What's the temperature like? What's the weather like? What are you looking out at?
I think it's in the upper 60s, and there's literally no wind at all. It's a beautiful
really?
Day.
Nice day to be out the Oregon coast, isn't it?
It sure is. All right, these days in the shoulder seasons.
What is the OCVA, O-C-V-A? What is that?
So OCVA is the Regional Destination Management Organization, and people throw the acronym around RDMO. And so how it works is the state of Oregon collects a transient lodging tax from campgrounds and motel rooms, RV parks, those sort of things, and they take some of that money to run the Travel Oregon program, and then they dole out the rest of the money to the different RDMOs, and we are the coastal RDMO. There are 7 of them in Oregon, and we partner pretty closely with Travel Oregon and a lot of local destination management organizations in different towns. They're in different forms, so there's chambers of commerce, there's visitor centers, those sort of entities, and each city has one of those DMOs. So we partner with them, we partner with Travel Oregon, and we also partner with our land managers on the coast, so BLM, Forest Service, State Parks, and we have a board of directors from all over the entire Oregon coast, as well as 5 staff that are spread out all over the coast. We have a mission and vision. If you would like, I can tell you a little bit about the big picture stuff that
Please do.
We want to do.
Please do.
Our mission is pretty simple. We want to inspire travel and strengthen collaboration to create and steward a sustainable coastal economy. And you can do this in a lot of different ways, but we picked 5 main goals. It doesn't mean that we're not doing other things, but our main goals are increasing the number and diversity of sales and marketing efforts, supporting shoulder season visitation. This is the type of visitation that isn't in the peak months of July and August. So when the Oregon coast doesn't really need a lot of help in those summer season, we're already pretty busy. So the shoulders are before and after the main parts of summer. So like we think about May and September, those months. We also strive to educate policymakers and key coastal leadership on the value of tourism, because not everybody understands how big of an industry this is and how sustainable it can be. We're also trying to raise the stature, the visibility, and the functionality of the Oregon Coast Trail as a regional coherent trail system for both residents and visitors. And so that's a pretty specific goal, but it is a very, very long trail going through almost every single community on the coast, so that's why we made it one of our goals. We have another goal of engaging stakeholder networks to align our investments in public art, agritourism, recreation, and cultural heritage. So this is a way that we can take our, you know, fairly small budget. It's about $3.1 million over 2 years, so it's not a huge budget. But if we can align that with other DMOs and Travel Oregon efforts, then we can get a whole lot more done. We also are trying to provide a unified voice for industry and consistent brand persona for visitors. So when they come to the coast, they're seeing similar branding up and down the coast, and they're understanding, like, why we talk about the People's Coast. You know, it's this free and open beaches to people, so we're trying to, like, make sure everybody uses similar branding, or at least we offer it. And then our last goal is to solidify investments in the development and delivery of workforce training and curriculum, so that when people come to the coast, the people that they talk to in the restaurants and the motels are educated and understanding of the different options that people have when they come to the coast. And so they do a better job with customer service, essentially, and they seem more informed.
All right. So Dave, what you're trying to do is you're trying to promote coming to the Southern Oregon coast as a destination area, destination stop. Is that what you're pushing?
Yeah, that's where my focus is. And then the overall association is working for the entire Oregon coast. But since I'm on the South Coast, that's what I focus on.
All right. Let's focus a little bit on the South Coast there. And I've been to the South Coast a few times. One of them was a destination stop. The other one was just traveling through. What is there? What is in the Oregon, Southern Oregon coast for me and my wife and okay, bring maybe a couple of children? What is there for us to come down and see or do?
There's a lot. There's a lot to see here. It's like the rest of the Oregon coast. You know, we have all these great beaches that are open to the public. So that's kind of a thing that you'll find throughout the whole state of Oregon. And also the coast range is pretty close to the beaches down here. Like it seems like with the mountainous Calmeopsis range that we have here, it's a little bit quicker to access some of those coastal mountains. The South Coast has more federally designated wild and scenic rivers than anywhere else in the lower 48 states. So once you get down to here towards Port Orford, you got 5 wild and scenic rivers between the Elk River and the Smith River. So
really?
You go south, you go from the Elk, you head down a little further, and you have the Rogue in Gold Beach and the Illinois River just east of Gold Beach. And then we also have the Chetco River down in that dumps out into Brookings. And then just right on the border and just over the border, it kind of crosses into Oregon and back into California, is the Smith River. So we have all these beautiful, amazing, protected rivers. This area dubbed itself the Wild Rivers Coast because of all those wild and scenic rivers down here. One thing I think is kind of unique about the South Coast is, like, while everybody has these great beaches and all over Oregon, up and down the coast, we have a little bit less crowding issues down here.
Why is that?
It's just because we don't have Portland just to the east of us. So we have smaller towns to the east, and it's a little harder to get here, but it's definitely worth it, because if you like to walk on a beach by yourself, then this is the right place to come do it.
Now, my wife and I, a couple of years ago, we decided to take the coastal trip, and we went from Astoria all the way down into California. It's a longer drive than jumping on Interstate 5 and going straight at 70 miles an hour. But it is a beautiful, beautiful drive. There's nothing like the Oregon coast. And I know that I do a lot of traveling for my stand-up comedy that I do. And when I talk to folks, I tell them, I says, you know, if you've never made it up to Oregon, you got to come up there and just check out the coast. Because the Oregon coast is probably one of the most beautiful coastlines, I think, not only in the United States, but probably in the world. Do you agree?
Oh, I absolutely agree. And one of the cool things about the South Coast is once you get to Port Orford, the 101 stays on the beach pretty much. It's right on the cliffs overlooking the beach all the way to Brookings. So you got a good 60 miles of great ocean views and pull-offs all over the place.
Yeah, and there's also some places for a little bit of adult entertainment. You've got some casinos along the coast, don't you?
Yeah, there's a couple. There's one in Coos Bay, the Mill. It's a really popular one, and they've done such a good job and with their motel and the restaurants there, and the casino is a lot of fun. So I think that that's a very popular spot down here. There's another one, I believe it's Three Rivers, that's there as well.
And Florence.
And then you go further south, there's not so many until you get down to California.
I've actually worked at Three Rivers. I opened for Louis Anderson in that casino. And it's a
great,
beautiful, beautiful casino there. And again, it's right on the coast there. So if you're into that, hey, there you can find it. Great adult entertainment there. Let's talk about the good stuff. Let's talk about the food. What kind of food establishments do we have around there, Dave? What have you got?
There is a lot of variety down here, but one of the things that people are really taking pride in is trying to have local ingredients. So we're trying to get more of the local seafood that's caught right here on the coast, served in the local restaurants. It's not always an easy ask, but it's happening more and more. And then people are trying to incorporate local berries in their food, and there's local farms growing green. So it's a big push for local food. But the seafood is why I think most people come to the coast if they're into culinary, because there's just a myriad of different types of seafood to eat. And we got some pretty good fisheries still here in Oregon, I think some of the better on the West Coast. So you're getting a lot of fish and chips, a lot of like snapper type rockfish. People call them snapper, but they're rockfish here. We lingcod and crab is abundant in the wintertime and in the spring. And then there's some real more delicacy type foods that I haven't really gotten super popular yet, but we're really looking forward to helping people experience urchins, so the uni. That's one thing that we're trying to get people to eat more of on the South Coast, because there's a bit of an issue with the urchins eating a lot of our kelp, and so we're trying to find ways to increase the demand for that type of seafood that would also help our kelp forest down here, because we have, on the South Coast of Oregon, we have about 75% of the rocky reef habitat in the state of Oregon. So more kelp forest, more rocky reef than the more sandy areas to the north. And so there's a ton of rock fishing. If you want to get fish and chips, I mean, you can't beat the South Coast.
and there's nothing better, Dave, than sitting on an outdoor restaurant, eating a shrimp cocktail, looking at the ocean, smelling the ocean, just, I mean, with that special person, just enjoying your afternoon. I mean, does it get any better than that?
No, it doesn't, except for you want to include one of the many craft breweries that we have on the South Coast.
I was getting to that, Dave. I was going there. let's talk. We've got about 3 minutes and 40 seconds left to go here. Let's talk about some of the craft breweries. What have you got over there?
Right. So if we're keeping it to the South Coast, we got Defeat River Brewing there in Reedsport, which has got some great brews, and they have a great story to tell. They name their caskets where they have where they're fermenting and doing their brews. They have different names for some of those. So it's right there in the area of Old Town, Reedsport, that they're trying to make nicer. That's Defeat River Brewing, and that's pretty tasty stuff. And then if you go further south, we have Seven Devils right there in Coos Bay in downtown. They've done a wonderful job, great ambiance. The owners are really cool. The beer and the food is great.
I don't think I've ever heard of Seven Devils.
Yeah,
that's
right there
a new
in Coos Bay.
I don't think I've heard of that one. It's a new one on me.
You'll have to check it out. It's pretty awesome. They have a lot of live music there as well, so it's a really fun place to go. There's also some distilleries. There's Steel Wagon, and they make whiskey and rum and probably some other types of liquor that are pretty darn good. And he does little tours of his distillery there out by Charleston. So that's pretty exciting stuff. Some of his rums are just crazy, all different types of flavors and just really, really tasty. Then you go further south in Bandon. There's Bandon Brewing Company, and they have a nice little brewery in the Old Town part of Bandon, the really walkable area, and they're food is awesome there. It's just a really neat place. They have a big garage door that opens up onto a patio, so you can spend some time outside, like you were saying earlier. But then we're kind of missing one. But Port Orford doesn't have a brewery yet, which I don't know how long that's going to last, because every town needs a brewery, I think.
You bet. You bet.
But if you get to down into Gold Beach, is probably one of my, as far as the quality of beer goes, is one of my favorites, and that's Arch Rock Brewing Company. They're more of a production brewery. They don't have a big restaurant to go hang out in, but their beer is just amazing, and it's super tasty. So you can fill up your growlers, and you can get samples there and stuff. And then we got Chetco Brewery down in Brookings. There's actually two good breweries down there. Chetco Brewing Company has a really neat location, a big open building with lots of seating, and they have some food carts there. Lots of different types of beer, and it's really good. And then the last one down there is escaping me off the top. Oh, Misty Mountain. That's right. Misty Mountain down in Brookings is really tasty beer. They had this theme in their first tap house. It was sort of Middle Earth, sort of Hobbit-y kind of stuff. You can almost hear the Led Zeppelin playing when you walk in the door.
Nice.
And really good beers.
All right.
Lots of variety on the coast.
We're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, more with today's special guest, Dave Lacy. And you're listening to The Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
Hey, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo. Are you in the market for a new car? Well, if so, I encourage you to do what I do. Head down to Lule's Car Connection. Lule's has been selling quality vehicles for over 30 years. Lule's brokers any new vehicle selling within dealer invoice. Hey, check this out. Lule's has financing with most major lenders and credit unions. So do what I do. Stop by Lule's Car Connection, located at 2055 Mission Street in Salem, and tell them Saltissimo sent you. Lule's Car Connection.
Hey,
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
Welcome back to The Terry Saul Weekend Show. We are talking with Dave Lacey from the Oregon Coast, the South Coast Destination Coordinator, to be exact. And we're talking about some of the different things that you can do when you head over to the Oregon Coast, especially if you head over the coast and go south from our area here, because it's such a beautiful, beautiful area down there. So what are you doing, Dave? What is your company and your outfit doing to better try and get people to come down there and visit the southern coast?
So we have a lot of tactics based on improving outdoor recreation opportunities here. Sometimes they're based around like putting out paddle guides for the different rivers. Sometimes it's about creating paddle launches in the river. So if we're working on paddle sports stuff, we also did a...
What is that? What is a paddle launch?
So a paddle launch is for kayakers and paddleboarders and canoe folks. It's a safe dock situation where there's places to hold on to while you get in and out of your boat. There's ramps so that when you get in the boat, you slowly slide into the water safely without tipping over, and they're just easier to get in and out of, and it helps for maybe people who have back issues. Rather than climbing in your kayak off the dock, you have this nice little cradled dock situation, so it's just safer and easier and more accessible, I guess.
Is there a lot of kayaking going on in that particular area?
There is. There's a lot of kayaking on our rivers. Like I said earlier, we have these beautiful wild and scenic rivers down here, but even the ones that aren't wild and scenic are still awesome for paddling. The Coquille River is a good example of that. We've been investing quite a bit of time and some money on the Coquille River Water Trail Project, which has been a fun experience for the last couple of years. And one of the things that people really like to do there is take advantage of our community paddles. And so we did five of them this year on different stretches of the river. And people come from the valley and from up and down the coast, and they come and they meet up, and we all paddle the stretch of river together. So it's a great way to learn a new piece of river. It's a great way to meet other people who want to paddle, because sometimes you might not have friends who want to paddle. And this way you can make some new friends. And then you usually do a barbecue or some sort of food sharing kind of situation at the end, and it's just a lot of fun. And
now, is that something you can do in one day, paddle all those rivers in one day?
That would be pretty cool if someone tried to do all of the rivers in one day, but usually it's just about a 6 to 8 mile stretch of river, and it takes usually a couple hours, maybe 3 hours for the longer ones.
And
we do them, spread them out over the whole summer, so there's a bunch of opportunity.
Do you do that? Do you paddle that stuff?
Oh, yeah, I do paddle paddle boards as well as kayaks, and I'm not so much of a canoer. I don't have one, but I like to paddle pretty much everything. I like to surf. I like to fish on the rivers.
So you're one of these guys that's probably in some type of decent shape then.
I'd like to think so. you can always be better in shape, I guess.
See, my idea of paddling would be with a motor behind me, kind of pushing.
Yeah, and all these rivers are navigable as well, so if you don't want to paddle, you can surely take your boat on these rivers, and definitely, it's not like there's hundreds of paddlers on the rivers that get in the way of the boaters. We definitely don't want to do that.
Right.
But yeah, lots of different ways to experience these rivers.
Now, one of the things that you talked about on our last segment was you said that there's a lot of the beaches along the Oregon coast are walkable beaches. Explain that.
Yeah, they're just long stretches of uncrowded beaches down here. There's lots of different ways to enjoy those beaches. I mean, we might talk about it later, but there's fat tire bikes, so it's a great way to explore these beaches. These are bikes with extra wide tires that pedal really good on the sand. Usually you try and do those with the lower tide so that there's a bigger beach and it's a little harder sand down by the water's edge. But you can cover way more ground on one of those fat bikes than you can walking.
Okay. Do they do horses too? I mean, I've seen that a lot where you can go on horse rides along the beach too. Is that something that's they have a lot of down there?
Yeah, I believe there's a lot of that happening up around Coos Bay, and then there's some outfitter type businesses in Bandon and also down in Pistol River. So there's a few places, if you don't have a horse, you can go and pay somebody to ride on their horses, and they take you all around and show you the area. I guess that's pretty popular. I see them off and on.
Yeah, I've seen them quite a bit of that. Dave, what is the best time to go to the Oregon coast? Now here's where we're probably going to differ. You being the big surfer dude with the paddle board and everything else, you like to get out there in the sun and enjoy it. I love going to the coast and watching the storm come in.
Oh, yeah. Storm watching is...
Isn't that incredible to do?
So fun. Yeah. I love watching the big waves break on the headlands around here. Then there's one place in particular that's really popular up there in Charleston area by Cape Arago. This is where the waves will come in and hit this rock cliff and then shoot up in the air hundreds of feet, it seems like. It's just monster spray going up over the cliff. And there's so many coastal motels that have views looking down onto the beaches that you can sit in your room if it's raining and stormy and watch all of that happen. Lots of opportunity there.
How about whale watching?
Yeah, there's tons of whale watching. We're actually coming into the southern migration time for the gray whales, and so we see gray whales coming in the spring and leaving in the fall, and then there's about 5% of the eastern Pacific gray whale population that does not migrate to Alaska in the summer.
Really?
So all the other whales, most of the whales go up to Alaska to get fat on all the riches in the ocean there, but we have a couple hundred whales that stick around the Oregon coast, and that's why when you see them in July and August, those are those summer sort of resident whales. They're not really resident, but they hang out here all summer, and then that's the whales that most people see in July and August.
Now, to do whale watching there, can you do that from the coastal line or a cliff or something, or do you need to go out in a boat and actually, it's probably a little bit more enjoyable in a boat because you're up close, a lot closer than you would be. What do you recommend, Dave?
It's both. If people don't like boats or they get seasick, then yeah, you can find plenty of good whale watching locations. There's Whale Watching Spoken Here, which is like a program I think that State Parks does, so they have really picked out those really good spots that you can watch from land. And then there's a lot of outfitters on the central coast in Depot Bay around the Newport area, and then down on the south coast we don't really have a outfitter at this point that does whale watching in boats, but there's a kayak company down here that'll take you out if you want to go there.
And is that something you can do 12 months a year, or is there a certain time that they'd rather not go out because of weather?
I think they're pretty much all seasonal. I would say like early May, all the way through into October is probably the best time to go on whale watching trips for paddling and for the boats. I believe they all shut down.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about fishing because from what I understand, there's some pretty doggone good fishing going on over in that particular area. Is that correct, Dave?
Oh, yes, sir. Definitely.
All right. We'll take a short break. When we come back, more with Dave Lacy. Today's show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler and the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station. We are 104.3 FM and 1220 AM. We are KSLM. Back in just a moment.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
Welcome back. This is The Terry Saul Weekend Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and today we're talking with Dave Lacy, who is the South Coast Destination Coordinator for the South Coast of Oregon. Some beautiful, beautiful beaches down in that particular area there. And we were talking a little bit, Dave, before our last break, and let's talk a little bit about fishing. They do any fishing along the coast? Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, man, there's lots of different types of fishing here. All those rivers down here are teeming with salmon and steelhead. Especially the Rogue River has been just gangbusters the last couple of years for salmon. But yeah, there's lots of different river fishing as well as ocean fishing. The bottom fishing down here is really spectacular. There's so much rocky reef that there's a variety of different outfitters that'll take you out. And
how about crab?
Safe access.
Crab fun to fish for?
Oh yeah, I love crabbing. It's really, really fun. If you've never done it before, there's a great place in Bandon, Tony's Crab Shack. They'll rent you the gear, and you just walk down right across the street from where they're at, and you're on this crabbing dock, and they have everything you need. They give it to you. Just walk down there, throw it in the water, and you're getting crab there. It's a really good spot.
So I've done crabbing before, and it's a blast. I actually did it in Moss Landing, California, when I was growing up, and then we actually came up here and went clamming. And I got some razor clams up here in the area, as well as crabbing. And Dave, explain how crabbing works. Crabbing is fun. You get this big cage, right? And
yeah, I love crabbing.
Tell me how you crab up here in Oregon.
Yeah, there's mostly going for Dungeness crab, but there's a red rock crab as well. And so you can keep quite a few of them, and it'll keep you busy picking all that meat out of there. But it's fun because if you do the crab rings, you're pulling them up every 10, 12 minutes if there's crab around. And so it's a little bit more action-packed than just throwing it in the water and letting it sit for a long period of time. So it's pretty exciting. You don't really ever know what you might get in your crab ring, too. You might bring up, I've pulled up octopus before.
Really?
You might bring up a fish. I mean, you never really know if it's going to be a crab or something else.
You ever get any lobster?
No, that would be sweet if we had lobster here.
Wouldn't that be nice? So basically the way it works is you have this big net and you put a fish on it, right? And then
the old guys will argue with you on what's better, the salmon head or the chicken, but I think most of them believe the chicken, pieces of chicken are the best.
I've never done chicken. We always used to use fish. So
I just save my salmon heads and I usually use that, but if got some old gamey chicken, then that works pretty good too.
And so you put the chicken on this in this rack, you drop it down. It goes down about, what, 20, 25, 30 feet, somewhere around there?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on where you're at. But, yeah, it could be as little as 10, and it could be 25.
And then you just wait about 10 minutes or so, and you start to pull them up. And then you sit there, and like you say, it's kind of the surprise is like, what did we get on this haul? You just don't know, you know?
It's fun to try and sort them out. If you got a couple of ones that are a little too small, and you can set up a little crab race and put a couple crabs on one end of the dock and see how long it takes them and see who wins to get back in the water on the other side.
Well, there you go. How fun. I never thought about that, a crab race. Hey, what is the LCC?
The LCC is a live culture coast.
What is that?
And this is... Yeah, you want me to tell you a little bit about it?
Well, sure.
All righty. Well, this live culture coast is a very new... event that we are doing this year. It's the first time we've tried to pull something this large off because it covers the entire south coast of Oregon, starting in Reedsport and ending in Brookings. And I like to think of it as a social probiotic. So it's art, it's outdoor recreation, it's culinary and agritourism, all lumped together. It's like, what's some of the best things about the Southern Oregon coast all within 10 days? And so it starts on the north. It has some events in Reedsport and outings that you can do, workshops, guest speakers. There's a big part of it is in Coos Bay that first weekend. Between that weekend and the next weekend, the Live Culture Coast moves south, and there's different things, workshops and classes you can sign up for along the way in different communities. And then it culminates down in Brookings and has some, you know, more big dinners and guest speakers and more events down there. So it's huge. It's a big deal for us, and it's something we're trying out. And if it works well, we're going to continue to do it. And I'm pretty stoked about it. It's coming up pretty fast.
Actually, as this interview airs, it's going on right now.
Is it right now?
Right now, yes.
Right on, yeah. It starts the 18th and ends on the 27th of this month. So if you haven't heard about it, check it out because it's going to be a lot of fun.
Now, is this the first year you've done this?
It is the first year, and it's sort of modeled after something that was done in the Midwest called Fermentation Festival.
Okay.
And so a lot of it is about learning how to make cucumbers or pickles and like kimchi and a lot of that fermentation. There's beer workshops on how to make beer, but most of the stuff I focus on are the different sort of outdoor recreation experiences.
Now, Dave, you like to eat, don't you?
I love to eat.
I could hear in your voice I like you, Dave. You're like me. We like to eat. We like to eat. However, I don't get in the water and surf, though. That's the difference between you and I. So why is October the best month for the LCC?
There's a few reasons. One I'll start out with is it's the shoulder season for the coast, so there's less tourists. But the weather can be really great. People might think it rains a lot in October, and sometimes it'll rain. But other days, it's beautiful like it is today. It's in the upper 60s. Yesterday, it was almost 70. So the rain is not a guarantee. But one of the things that I like to say about the Oregon coast is there is no bad days on the Oregon coast.
I agree. I don't even know if it's a bad year. I mean, when you go to the coast, you expect what you get. Whatever you get, that's what the Oregon coast is all about, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think I might have sounded wrong. I say there's no bad days on the Oregon coast, just bad gear.
Oh, gear. I thought you said bad year.
Yeah, sorry.
I was gonna
bad
say,
gear. Yeah.
Geez, Dave, not a good way
to
promote. All right, got it. So if it's raining, so what? You know what? That's when you come to Oregon. I was in Texas a couple of weeks ago there, and we got off the plane in San Antonio. It was 104 degrees, and it's like, you people like this? And I got back home to Oregon where it was 66 degrees. And I go, now this is what it's all about. You come to Oregon, you go to the coast. You may get rain, you may not. But that's the Oregon coast. You just don't know.
I agree. And then the fall is also a good time for the harvest. There's lots of different types of food that are just, you know, coming out of the fields, and it's just a good time to try out the local goods, like the cranberries or this is cranberry time right now. So yeah, lots of good food, and the shoulder season helps these businesses that, you know, could use a little bit more economic influx during these slower times, you know, get help fill up the motel rooms and the restaurants get some attention. So I think the shoulder season is where we really need to focus our efforts.
Is there a lot of places to stay along the Oregon coast, the southern Oregon coast? Are there a lot of motels and stuff? You don't really ever have a period where you just, no, don't come down this weekend because we're sold out everywhere.
It's not so much down here. On the north coast, definitely they don't want us promoting Cannon Beach in July because they're just so busy already. So even in place like that, though, in the shoulder season, they can use more visitors. But down here, it doesn't really, I mean, there's definitely times where there's no vacancy, but it's way less common here than it is north.
What do you do, Dave? What do you do on your day off where it's like, okay, you know what? I might pick up that special person and we're just going to go have a relaxing day. What do you do? I mean, you live in paradise there. What do you do?
Yeah, I like to surf. Obviously, I've talked a bit about the paddle sports things. I like to surf and kayak. But there's a fun program that we're doing here with the Wild Rivers Coast Food Trail. It's called the Passport Program. And my wife and I love to get in the car and go to one of the communities nearby and go to one of the food trail businesses so that we can get a stamp in our passport. And it just says that you went to this business. You collect the stamps at all the different types of businesses on the food trail, and you get prizes as you get a certain amount of stamps. So it's a really fun way to patronize your local businesses and get some good food and then get some prizes. We have magnets, Wild Rivers Coast Food Trail magnets. There's stainless steel pint glasses. There's bamboo cutlery, and then like a nice shopping bag that you can win. So that's a fun thing to do.
Plus, you get to eat. There we go with that food again, right?
Yeah, and the breweries are in there too.
There you go. What is your favorite, Dave? What is your favorite seafood? What do you just can't get enough of?
If I can get my mouth on some Oregon scallops,
really?
I think they're amazing.
Yeah.
It's something that a lot of people don't realize that you can get off the Oregon coast. They're a little harder to get to if you're free diving. They're a little deeper, but they're there, and you can harvest big, succulent scallops right off of our rocky coastline. It's my favorite.
Do you dive off of the coast a lot?
Yeah, we do quite a bit of free diving here in Port Orford. It's probably the diving capital of the Oregon coast.
Is
There's
it really?
A scuba tank fill station right here at the OSU field station. You can get your tanks filled here, and then just down the road is some of the best diving, I think, on the Oregon coast. It's pretty good spot for that.
And pretty spectacular on what you can see underneath the water there?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so much color. I mean, it's not always perfectly clear water, of course, but
right.
When you do get it, it's amazing. There's urchins and sea anemones and different sponges and weird things growing on the rocks. I don't even know what they are.
They're called sharks. Stay away from them.
I you know, it's funny because I have not seen a shark on the Oregon. I know they're here, but I've been surfing and playing in the waters here for 23 years. I still haven't seen a shark. I've seen killer whales. I've seen lots of gray whales, all the marine mammals, but no sharks.
Well, don't go looking for them. You don't
I think
find
it would be fun to see them.
Well, it'd be fun to see them without them seeing you. Let's put it that way.
I don't think that they want to get us, so like seeing one would be great. I don't know. I just think it would be really neat, especially if I was in my kayak. I'd feel a lot safer.
Sure, because you can whack them with your paddle there. let's talk a little bit more about the LCC. What are some of the outdoor recreation experiences that somebody could sign up for during the LCC?
Sure, yeah, there's a whole bunch. So I can name off a few here.
All right.
I don't know if this is outdoor recreation or not, but I would consider it because you're doing a forage for mushrooms. So you're hiking around in the woods. You can learn about what mushrooms to pick and where to get them, and that's a really fun one. In Charleston, there is the nation's first estuary research reserve, and the people there are taking people on guided hikes around the estuary research reserve. It's called South Slough. It's a really cool place to go and check out. They have an interpretive center as well. There's also Coos Boat Tours. This is a newer outfitter that does boat tours in the Bandon and Coos Bay area, so that's something you could do. There's another outfitter offering hiking around Lake Marie and then a lighthouse tour for the Umpqua Lighthouse. So you get in their van and you go to the lake and hike around and then go up to the lighthouse. It would be fun.
Is that lighthouse still in operation, Dave?
Yeah. I believe that one is current. And they do guided hikes or tours of that lighthouse. So that's one of the things you can do. Another person is combining hiking and yoga for a fun little retreat outdoors. There's a bunch of fat tire biking opportunities. So there'll be an outfitter in Port Orford that can take you fat tire biking on some of these beaches we were talking about. And there's also an outfitter who's going to load up their van and take people to the Oregon Redwoods. Many people don't realize that we have big redwood trees in Oregon, so down in Brookings.
They are spectacular.
Some great trails too on those two hikes.
It's if you've never done that drive down to California that way, it's a little bit windy, but it is one of the most beautiful drives that I took it in a motorhome, and I wish I hadn't because it was just pretty windy there, but it's just beautiful there. Dave, we need to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting warmed up. We're talking with Dave Lacey from the South Coast Destination, and we're chatting about the Oregon coast. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM, 1220 AM. We are KSLM. Back in just a moment.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
We are back with our final few minutes, and we are talking the Oregon coast, the southern Oregon coast to be exact. Our guest is Dave Lacey, and we're talking about the fact that Dave likes to go out there and fish around with the fish there and go swimming with the sharks and all the other things that I won't even ever think about doing. But we're talking about it. Dave, you said something about a fat tire bike, and you've mentioned it a couple of times on this show today. What is a fat tire bike?
So fat tire bikes are kind of they're not super new, but they're gaining a lot of popularity. I think they were originally created for riding bikes in the snow, but now people have taken them to the beach. So they have really wide tires, 4 or 5 inches wide, but everything else about them is pretty similar to a normal bicycle. But the extra big tires make them really good for pedaling on softer sort of things like snow and, in our case, the beach. But they also work really well on normal trails. They have a lot of good grip, so it's not like they only go on the beach. You can get a bike on many of the different single-track trails as well.
What is the best time of the year to come down to the southern Oregon coast? Is it in June, July, August? What is your favorite time there to have guests come down?
Personally, I like September and October.
Why is that?
There's just a little bit less traffic. I feel like there's less wind, so there's better paddling opportunities. The swells start to pick up a little bit, so the surfing's a little better. I just like that shoulder season, like when kids are back in school, everything's less crowded. You know, it's a nice time of year.
So it's one of those times when you can say, "Go away, kid, you bother me," and they go away to back to school, and you don't have to worry about them, right? That's what you're trying to say, Dave, right?
Kids, yeah, I know how that is.
What is the probably the least favorite time of the year? Is it in the winter time? Do you think, or is there another time that you just, I could do without this?
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I feel that way about July because it's just so busy.
Yeah,
and there's so many people here. But if you know where to go, you can get away from the crowd. So I don't know if there really is a bad month. Sometimes February seems a little rough because it's been raining for so long, and you're just kind of like ready for some sunshine. So I don't know.
Sure.
There isn't one that stands out too much.
What about the temperatures? You don't have those 100 degree days that stick around for a month or two, do you?
No. This part of the coast, like Gold Beach and in Brookings area, is considered the banana belt, so it is a little bit warmer than most of the rest of the Oregon coast.
What do you consider warmer? I just came from Texas. It was 104. What do you consider warmer?
Like 4 degrees warmer than, say, Astoria. So in the 60s and 70s is kind of the average summer temperature here.
So I told somebody, I was in Dallas on the second leg of that trip down there, and I told somebody, we just came from, I live in Oregon. They said, "What's the temperature right now?" And I told them, I said, "Well, it's 71 degrees right now." And they started laughing. They says, "We put a jacket on at that." And it's like, well, that's why you live in Texas and I don't, okay, dude?
So yeah, they're way hardcore over there, aren't they?
This is This part of Oregon is really is God's country. You know, I've told people that when they come up to visit, they just I take them to the coast, whether it's the northern coast or the southern coast. It's such a beautiful area there, and we're excited. How long have you been over there, Dave?
I've been here for 23 years.
Yeah, where'd you come from?
I came down from Washington, so I had spent some time in Seattle and on the east side on the Columbia River. So I've always been definitely favoring the Northwest. And so once I actually got done with college and everything, I moved to the Oregon coast and I haven't left.
There you go. We moved from Colorado and we've never looked back. This is just beautiful country up here. We just love it. What are some of the upcoming projects, Dave, that you are really excited about on the Oregon coast? We've got about 5.5 minutes left to go here. What are some of the upcoming projects that you're just really excited about?
Definitely. So I'm going to continue working on improving the paddling infrastructure. So we got these paddle guides coming out that'll help people understand where the best places to go paddling are and how to do it safely. Improving the infrastructure, so more of those launches and landings to get on the water. Pretty darn excited about the work that's been done in this area for mountain biking. So we've created some pretty amazing trails with a lot of partners in Coos County called Whiskey Run.
Whiskey Run?
Whiskey Run, yeah.
What is that?
After the road that is there.
Sure it was.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no whiskey bottles on that trail or anything.
Well, then, what the heck are we talking about?
So we're talking about world-class mountain biking on over 23 miles of brand-new trails.
Oh, nice.
It is stunning, fun riding. It's like a roller coaster on a bike. And we're trying to do more of that down in the Gold Beach area. So we have some really early stage projects where we want to develop a couple more trail systems down in Curry County. I'm pretty excited about the growth of disc golf, too. It's a real fun game that is gaining a lot of popularity. And so we're starting to dabble a little bit in making some investments in that.
What is disc golf?
Disc golf, it's like ball golf or regular golf where instead of hitting it with a club, you throw like a frisbee. Yeah, it's booming. There's all these new courses popping up all over the place, and so it's just a really fun alternative to normal, you know, golf. It's like free pretty much. I mean, the discs are pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to pay to go on a course, and it's you know, a little more socially acceptable, I guess, in that way, where you don't have to pay a lot of money or have a lot of money to go do it. But yeah, it's really fun, a good way to get outside and have fun. And one of the big projects we're working on is the Oregon Coast Trail. I mean, this is an iconic towns to trails concept where the trail covers the entire Oregon coast. It's huge. It's a big project. It's going to take many years to make it better. It's officially a trail already, but there's a bunch of sections that people have to walk on Highway 101, which is not a great visitor experience. So we're going to be working on that for a long time to get those sections off of the 101. That's going to take us a long time, but it's going to be worth it because every person that walks on that trail will walk through all the coastal towns that the trail goes through. So there's a lot
nice.
Of opportunities to
nice.
Hike that trail with a light backpack because you can stay in a motel. You don't have to carry a tent. You can eat meals at the local pubs and not have to make your own. So I think it's going to be a huge asset for the coast.
Well, Dave, we're getting real close on time here, and I could talk to you for another hour here. Could I ask that we do this again down the road here in a little bit? I have 1,000 more questions that I would love to ask you, and
sure.
I think that my wife and I were talking about this the other day, and I said, "Well, what do you want to do one of these weekends?" She goes, "Let's take a ride to the coast." So we might just go to the coast and then head south and come down, and don't be surprised if we're knocking on your back door and going, "Come on, let's go get some crab."
That sounds great. This has been fun.
Hey, do you have a website and an email address or something for people if they have more questions they'd like to get with in touch with you with?
Absolutely. Our website is visittheoregoncoast.com. You can find a lot of good information there. We have a phone number that you can call to ask a bunch of questions and get our visitor guide sent to you, and that is 888-OCVA-101.
Okay.
Or you can call 541-574-2679. That's the phone number. And then my email is dave@thepeoplescoast.com.
That's pretty simple. I like that. thepeoplescoast.com. Again, the website is visitthecoast.com.
visit theoregoncoast.com.
Visit theoregoncoast.com, or you can give them a call at 1-888-OCVA-101. And if you would like to get some more information, there's all kinds of activities going on all the time, year-round. Dave, thank you, my friend. And I hope that we can chat soon down the road again. I've got a thousand more questions I'd love to get your answers on. And you never know. We might just get that cabinet out.
All right, well, thanks for this. This is fun.
All right, Dave. You take care, buddy.
You've been listening to The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. Today's show is brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. The next time you plan an event, think of the Queen. And by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Holmes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance. That's a wrap. Thanks, everybody. Good show.
Bye, everybody.